This show is for entertainment purposes only. The views and opinions of the presenters and their guests are their own. We operate in the parameters of Ofcom, the governing body for radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Outer Limits radio show with myself, Peggy.
And me, Carly.
And no, Chloe.
No. Not this week.
Not this week.
But she will be back next week.
She will be. Now, the song you just heard there was actually called Elemental Times by Nash. And he is a local artist that was on one of the other shows here on Swindon 105.5 during the week. Lovely chap to talk to.
Keeping it local,
exactly. And of course tonight we've got a wonderful guest for you.
We have.
But of course, before we go and introduce our wonderful guest, it is of course time.
Here is the Henge News, provided by our sponsor, The Henge Shop in Avebury.
Yes, good evening and welcome to the Henge News that is supplied by the Henge Shop in Avebury. So I'm going to pre-warn you because we've got a couple of cosmic classroom workshops going on. And me and Peggy have already had the conversation of how to pronounce these.
So hopefully we get them right.
Yes, so hopefully we get them right. So first of all, there is a Pleiades alignment online meditation on Saturday from 2:30 until 4:30. And that's obviously with the lovely Sue Colson. Her information is available on her webpage, which is www.cosmicclassroom.com. .co.uk and Pleiades-meditation-workshop. There is a booking requested and it's £20 and 20p per person. So it's invited to pay to support the facilitation of this event. But all the details are on there. And also, if you pop onto the Henge Shop Facebook page, the events, you click on there, that's available on there. She is also doing another meditation, and that's on the Friday, and that is from 6 in the evening until 8:30, and that's a Palladian High Elven meditation online via Zoom. Again, if you pop onto Sue's webpage, you can go along and find us. That would be www.henschools.com/collection/star-elfins, as in E-L-F-I-N-S, and that's £35 per person, and you can find her meditation on there as well. Also, before we forget, the lovely Ivan and Stephanie Young, so Ivan Brownrigg and Stephanie Young are in the Hen Shop tomorrow. And they sort of coincide with each other, so they're working together, which is really cool. So Stephanie Young with Yoga by the Stones is there from 6:15 until 7:30, and that's £12 per person, or via Zoom is £5, and that's stephanieyoung@mac.com. you can get in touch with her there. And also Ivan Brownrigg is there for his evening meditation, so straight afterwards, from 7:30 until 8:30, and that's upstairs in the gallery at the Hen Shop, and he is £5 a person. If you get in touch with Ivan on his telephone number, which is 077-91-234-562, but all this information is available on the webpage, which is www.henshop.com. if you click events, it scrolls back down, you've got regular practitioners, click that, that'll scroll back down, scroll your way down, find Ivan and Stephanie, and all the information is there. And that is the Henge News for this week.
Yay!
Thank you very much.
See, it wasn't that bad.
No, I managed.
And of course,
thank you with your help. Thank you.
And of course, we did interview Ivan and Stephanie separately a few weeks ago, so that was really nice that we can also advertise their regular practitioner slots.
And what a chance to go and actually have a bit of yoga and then meditation afterwards.
Definitely
beautiful.
Definitely.
Lovely. Jump on it, guys.
Definitely jump on it. But of course, it is now time to introduce our guest. Carly, I will let you.
And welcome this evening, our amazing guest, Dr. Jonathan Tuck. Hello, Jonathan. How are you?
Hi, very well, thank you.
Marvellous. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this evening. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on board. And obviously, you're in the Hen Shop next week as well, which is amazing. But you can tell us about that a bit later. First of all, I'd like to kick off with questions and say, how your book, I've read snippets and seen bits and pieces, and I'm just absolutely fascinated. So how did this all come about?
It's a very long story. that's kind of why I've written it down. It's all started when I had an accident when I was a child. I was 8 years old, and I like to say I broke my head. I actually fell off a push bike in an accident, and it was quite a serious accident. And I had a blood clot. My brain bounced across my head, and I had a huge blood clot on the right side of my head. I was in a coma for 2 weeks, and the doctors, though I'm extremely grateful to them, of course, that they saved my life, they told me that I'd have a 30% chance of not being a cabbage, because that was acceptable terminology back then, or that they told my parents at least, and that I'd be in a wheelchair by the age of 30. And for me, although it was traumatic and it did cause me a lot of discomfort throughout my life, it was the single best thing that ever happened to me, because it ignited a passion in me ever since in researching and finding out about the truth behind health and well-being and medicine, and particularly energy. So, you know, I think what it also did for me was that it introduced me to death, but in fact, life. at such a young age and allowed me to realize that anything is possible if you truly believe it, if you believe it passionately, and if you have a burning desire, you can achieve whatever you want. And for me, that was the greatest gift. It really was.
Wow, that's quite some experience at the age of eight.
You imagine what my parents must have gone through. You know.
I mean, that's that, and to come out being so young, to come out with that sort of thought pattern,
that attitude. Yeah,
that's a really grown up.
I credit my mother absolutely with that. She, from a very, very young age, obviously, she taught me glasses half full, always, you know. So thank you, Mum.
that's absolutely wrong. And from that, you've then gone on and done, obviously, quite extensive studies into you know, healing energies and universal energies. And what I really like and what really interested me is you've put the science behind the healing energy, so the holistic side of things. So you put the science that backs up the holistic thing, because obviously there's a lot of people that know about energies and holistic, but you obviously get the skeptical people that go, well, you know, is it just a load of old yogurt weaving, as my other half calls it, or is there something in it? But the fact that you've studied it, that's quite something. That's a lot of study going on there.
Yeah, I'm extremely grateful for the opportunities I've had in my life. I was first introduced to quantum physics during my first degree. And for me, it opened up a massive potential for understanding many of the metaphysical and otherwise pushed under the carpet stuff that we know about in a way that I could, first of all, begin to explain exactly how and why things did happen, but also I was very easily able to spot the nonsense, you know. So it really, I was so excited when I first came across it. But it wasn't until about 2017 that I started to investigate it in terms of energy healing.
It's completely and utterly fascinating. So what took you from the science side to doing the holistic side? Is that something you've always been interested in?
Absolutely. I think I've always been passionate about energy. Everything I've done in my life has surrounded energy, not just in my professional career, but also in my pastimes, activities, my what has inspired me throughout my life. And I think that the final piece to that jigsaw was the biological side of things and how energy interacts with your biology in order to create the changes in your DNA, your genetics. And I think I'd already studied quantum physics, chemistry, electrochemistry, you know. So for me, the final piece in that holistic jigsaw was the biology, which I'm still working on. But I've taken a lot of inspiration from the likes of Joe Dispenza and Bruce Lipton and Deepak Chopra and those kind of guys who I've also referenced in my book.
It's quite something. So you're talking about those lovely people being your inspiration. Is there anyone else sort of in your, apart from obviously your mum, who inspired you? Which is lovely. Is there anyone else that sort of inspired you and driven you to look further and look deeper for explanations and how things all connect up together?
Yeah, I mean, in the arena, I guess, some of the first books that really inspired me, or authors or professionals that really inspired me were the likes of, for example, Napoleon Hill, who wrote Think and Grow Rich, which is essentially describing the law of manifestation, the law of attraction. On the scientific front, I mentioned Bruce Lipton. Also, Lynn McTaggart wrote a fantastic book called The Field, which explains, again, in a very holistic sense, how energy works and how it is effective in so many of the otherwise unexplained phenomena that we come across. Like, for example, how homeopathy works. So that's explained through quantum physics. I've taken so many inspirations, it's difficult to pin them down, but you know, I think Bruce Lipton is certainly one of the former, and then Joe Dispenza in terms of explaining energy.
Yeah.
I'm also reading up on theta healing now, which also the author of that, I can't remember her name at the moment, but that begins to explain a lot more stuff. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so what's the theta? I can see, actually, I can see Peggy's itching.
I was going to ask what was it as well.
it's interesting. Once I'd learned Reiki, I'm a Reiki master teacher, and I really thought that this was the only necessary healing in an energy sense that you would need for a long time. And it's extremely important. Theta healing is, as the name suggests, healing in theta brainwave state. So it's been measured using special equipment. When a Reiki person is giving Reiki, they're performing that in alpha brainwave state. So there are five brainwave states: alpha, beta, theta, delta, and gamma. And the theta state is more where you are at in a space where you can access your subconscious, which is exactly where your trauma lies. You know, so it's just a different way of healing, and it makes a lot of sense to me, because a lot of what I talk about in my book is how to access these different brainwave states and frequencies, and particularly theta, where you can begin to address your wounds, as it were. So the traumas or the negative that you experience in your thought as a result of something coming into your conscious are usually derived from the most negative memories that you store in your subconscious. And when you can work with those and begin to remove them, then you begin to remove blockages, you begin to harmonize your thought in the absence of any negative bias. So for me, the theta healing, I'm just beginning with it, but it's making a lot of sense, and I'm looking forward to adding it to my portfolio of energy healing techniques.
It's you've got quite a portfolio. It's quite amazing, because you do I think was it you did a study of energy frequency healing as well.
I have, yeah. I mean, what I also have is what's called Rife equipment. It's coming from Royal Rife, which is pulsed electromagnetic frequency healing. And the beauty of this is that, firstly, if you get the wrong frequency, it can't do any harm. And secondly, you can run it 24 hours a day. And thirdly, you can also emanate in your body vitamins and minerals, or anything that that is how would I explain it? Well, yeah, so it's not only healing, but you can also, for example, give yourself vitamins and minerals 24 hours a day. It's an amazing technology. It's quite well known, and I have used it extremely successfully for healing otherwise serious conditions, which I probably shouldn't mention, but yeah.
But if it helps that and it's healing, then that, you know, and yeah, that's quite something. So the energy frequency, is that done via sound or
yeah, a bit like
vibrations,
like the gong baths or something, things like that, or the bowls.
It's a very, very similar principle. And you mentioned sound. Sound is one of the most powerful of all the energies on the planet. This is actually done by using your DNA. So what I also love about it is that there are very similar tangents between sending remote Reiki energy healing and sending remote pulse electromagnetic frequency healing. So I use a fingernail in a transmitter, and then I can transmit any frequency out of a database of about 44,000 different frequencies to anyone in the world, as long as I've got their DNA. So, you can do it locally as well. I've got a plasma tube which will deliver local energy, but it's just so easy to set it up and have it running. Like, for example, I detox myself all the time. I'm permanently detoxing all the time, and it just keeps you healthy.
I was going to say, that can't be a bad thing, because sometimes your body needs a detox, no matter what stage in life you are. You need to have a body detox.
Yes, absolutely, and it's so much more easy than eating a bucket of carrots a day. I just switch it on and
peppers.
Go, yes, yes. Yes.
Sprouts.
Oh, no. Definitely not sprouts for me. Give me a bell pepper. I can actually eat bell peppers. You know, you just cut them up and have them like you get the sticks. I can just eat them all day like that. That's fine.
I
love bell peppers.
I don't mind the red ones. I'm not that fond of the green ones. The green ones are a bit bitter, I think. But
No, I usually have a mix. Yeah, just give me a mixture. I'll be fine. But with that, with the energies and stuff, where to help you heal yourself, and you're saying about Reiki there. Now, do you also find that with meditation as well? Because obviously you can focus when you're meditating. Sometimes you can focus on the bits that you actually need to heal as well. That, so say you have, for example, I don't know, say you've sprained your wrist and you sit there and meditate, you can actually focus on that sprain to heal itself.
Yes, absolutely. I completely agree. And I think anybody could achieve that. And I like the principle that when you cut your finger, it heals. Because you expect it to do so. That's what you expect it to do, and therefore you bring that upon yourself. So in the same respect, what you're saying is absolutely true. And I think that the only blockage there is with that is the fact that we're not taught that should be the case. You know, so I think a lot of what we do in Reiki, for example, is we're not actually directly healing anyone. We are facilitating them healing themselves, you know, which is such a powerful thing. I'm so grateful to be able to do that. And I think anyone can do it. I really do. And I'd recommend anyone who's interested to look into Reiki and to look into their local opportunity.
Wow, with that, I think we should go into our first song. And you've chosen both the songs this evening. So would you like to introduce it?
Yeah, this is from the the latest Thunder album, and the reason I've chosen it is because it's painting the picture of the chaos that's going on now, and you'll see why I chose to do it in this order when we get to the final song, which concludes the picture. This is Destruction by Thunder.
You're watching the shadows with a fast beating heart, praying all of your fears they don't come out of the dark. The clock says ain't moving for the daybreak. You wait, but the light in the tunnel we'll be right back.
Is there a subject you would like us to cover? Would you like to be a guest on the show? Then why not email us, outerlimitsradioshow@outlook.com, or contact us through our Facebook page, The Outer Limits Radio Show on Swindon 105.5.
Catch up with the latest business issues in and around our area with Mind Your Own Business every Monday at 6 p.m. and Tuesday at 9 a.m. with me, Tim Thurston.
Join me, Josie Baker, on a road trip through a variety of great musical genres of the 1940s and 1950s, where all roads lead to rock and roll. Every Tuesday, 7 p.m. here on Swindon 105.5.
You're listening to the Outer Limits Radio Show here on Swindon 105.5. I'm Peggy.
I'm Carly.
And of course, we have our wonderful guest, Dr. Jonathan Tucker.
Or Tuck, even.
Oh, Tuck. Sorry. See, there you go. There you go. There's your blooper. What did I say before we even started the show? The one of us is going to do a blooper. There it is. It was me this time.
I know. You're so professional.
I know.
Steve will be very pleased because he took the pseudonym Tucker when he was younger. So we'll take that one for him.
Now, of course, you've also written the book. This is the reason why we've got you on the show this evening, because you're going to be doing a book signing at the Hen Shop in Avery. Yes. So you've written a book called A Theory of Everything. Now, whenever I hear that, I always think of, obviously, Professor Hawkins. So that's what I always think of whenever I hear about The Theory of Everything. So please tell us a bit about your book.
Sure. It was originally called Things I Wish I'd Known at Your Age. And I originally wrote it for my sons, mainly to try and help them, to give them a head start on what life was all about, at least from my perspective. My main incentive wasn't to write it for an audience. It was generally for my boys, and really just because I love writing. When I sent it to the child psychologist and author herself, who had inspired the inception of me writing the book, just to make sure I wasn't talking nonsense, because I'm not a qualified psychologist, but I have studied human psychology to the nth degree, but just to make sure I wasn't talking nonsense. And she came back with, if every parent in the world read this book, the world would be a better place.
Wow.
And I was blown away by that. I cried. I literally cried. It was really, really quite profound. So beyond that, I spent a couple of years working with an editor who promised to make it flow like water. And my goodness, she delivered. Absolutely incredible. And I then sent it to a marketing guy in the States who I got to know. And he came back with, John, this is not a book for kids. This is a theory of everything. And I thought, well, that's twofold. Firstly, I like that. But secondly, if everybody's looking for Stephen Hawking's The Theory of Everything, they might come across A Theory of Everything and be interested. You know, also a big fan of Stephen Hawking's, you know.
It does come up, because when I was searching for it, and as soon as you said A Theory of Everything, it does come up with all of Stephen Hawking's and your own book. So, as you said, what's the actual book itself about?
When I'm asked this question, I tend to look at it in the bigger picture, what essentially it is doing is it's providing all of the research that I've done throughout my lifetime surrounding health and well-being, and providing all of those references so that ideally my kids could then go off and do their own research and make up their own minds on what they choose to believe. But in essence, it's really if I was to describe it in a sentence, I'd say it's about how to raise your energy, how to raise your frequency. It's about how to live your life in everything you do and everything you think in order to raise your frequency and become your better self.
So it's more like a guide with a reference for you to go on and research further if needed.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, there's so much information out there and there's so much that could be personal to any particular person. I think it was important for me to be able to say where I'd got the research from and say, look, go and have a look for yourself. If you agree with me, great. But if you don't, that's also fine,
So how old were your children when you wrote the book? Could a teenager pick it up and understand it as well as sort of somebody middle-aged like me?
that's such a good question. I quote Einstein. Einstein said, if you can't explain it to an 8-year-old, you probably don't understand it yourself.
Oh, that's very good.
On the grounds that I was kind of explaining quantum physics in a loose sense. I mean, I wouldn't profess to understand quantum physics completely myself, but absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think many people I've spoken to have said that they want their 10-year-old or 15-year-old child to read the book, which I'm, which is fantastic.
And that's amazing, Jonathan, to be able to bring a book together that has such a wide appeal from a 10-year-old up to 110-year-old.
Yeah.
For all age ranges to be able to understand that and digest it, that's quite something.
I'm extremely grateful for having had the opportunity to do this. And this is actually the second edition of the book. The original edition was published in 2020. And I've subsequently worked with my partner, Angela Mary Moore, who is an amazing person in herself and extremely knowledgeable and wise. And what we did was we rewrote certain sections and the wording for a more international audience because she thinks big. I was thinking big anyway, but that she did the mechanics behind that. And also I've updated some of the science and tech in terms of health and well-being, and I've also quoted a few more sources that I came across. And also updated the diagrams, because apparently you couldn't read the diagrams in the first book, which was an oversight. But you live to learn, yes.
Now, I quite like some of the topics, because I'm looking on your website and obviously it shows like a list of topics that's actually in the book. And I have to ask, sense of humour.
Yes, I wrote about that really when I was assessing NLP, so the language that we use, and also the different phases of sense of humour I was into. So I'm more referring to the dark humour, the black humour, and realising that actually the words that I was using, the thoughts that I was constructing, were very negative. Equally, when I was younger, I was kind of an odd kid because I'd had various operations and my speech wasn't particularly brilliant, and I walked like Jake the Pig, which at least they always knew when I was coming, there's John, yeah. So I love to make people laugh, and where I started with it was it was easy to make them laugh about me.
Yeah.
And so I think where I've talked about sense of humour, I've explained the journey I've been on, where I've gone from people laughing at me to then utilising a dark humour to then moving into a more a more palatable and positive humour.
Because that was a lot of comedians. When you listen to, I'm a great one for an audiobook, as Peggy knows.
Yes.
So I've listened to people like Lee Evans, Michael McIntyre, yeah. Basil Fawlty. You know, what I mean, John Cleese. Mm-hmm. And a lot of comedians and comedians, they started life, their younger life, a lot of it, like especially Lee Evans. You know, he fully admits that he's completely gangly. Billy Connolly. I've listened to his as well. And they start out in life making people laugh because they feel they don't, you know, it's the way people respond to them and like them and accept them into being the group. And it's really interesting to listen to you talk about it and obviously them talk about it as well. And then they become, you know, come on, be great comedians. There's another branch for you there, Jonathan. You could
I would love to do comedy. I love to make people laugh, and I love it's a medicine in itself, you know. I mean, it's just something I've always been very passionate about, but took a long time for me to work out exactly how to do it or to do it with no detriment to myself.
Now, one of the other topics that you've got on your topic list is do it now. Now, that to me sounds like it's one of those things that's saying if you're thinking of doing something, just do it.
Yes, absolutely spot on. I mean, I think when you're inspired to do something, when the universe provides you with that opportunity, the more you procrastinate it, the further it's going to move away from you. So I always say I'm a do it now person. You know, that goes in tandem with my poor memory, because if I don't do it now, I'll probably forget what it was I meant to be doing. So that's a part of it. But the stopping drinking alcohol cured that in a sense. But yes, absolutely. And I also have been inspired by Richard Branson's "Screw It, Let's Do It." That was a very, very good book.
I always say to my other half, you know, he looks at things on the sort of other platforms of buying stuff in auction is available, eBay. he he'll sit there and he'll sort of look at it and, you know, procrastinate over something. And I go, oh, you snooze, you lose, love. You snooze, you lose.
That's very true.
I think it's all about intuition. So this is... or gut feeling. This is something which we're also not taught much about. And I think that when your gut instinct tells you something's right, just do it. That doesn't matter. And if you get it wrong, then at least you've made a decision. Because if you got it wrong, you can learn from it. One of the other things I learned, which I believe is Bob Proctor, was it's better to make a wrong decision and not to make a decision at all.
Yeah.
Because at least if you made the wrong decision, you know you don't do it again. Or ideally, you don't do it again.
Yeah.
Took me a long time to learn that.
I think I should listen to myself with that one in my walk, shouldn't I?
You'll say next time you'll be looking at pavements.
I tell you what I did on Saturday. Every time we came across a paving slab pathway, I was making sure that I was stepping in the middle of each one so I didn't have one to come up and do a 90 degree flip up to trip me over.
Well, maybe that's why they say don't step on the cracks. That's an old phrase, isn't it?
Don't step. Yeah. What is it? Actually, I think that's also in... The Land Before Time, when you've got one of the tiny little dinosaurs going, don't step on the crack or you'll fall and break your back. So, yes.
That's the thing. So, we're talking about instincts and things like that. And there's one thing that always sort of crosses my mind, and I don't know if you feel the same way, Jonathan, about is the fact that I feel as though the human race is now very diluted. And I think that you know, to me, I always think that we've all still got it there, but we don't listen to it. What sort of your sort of theory on the gut instinct or that sixth sense that people have actually got, but they don't, they're detached from it?
No, I think absolutely, Carly. I think that for whatever reason, we are not, at least in the West, we are not taught that the gut instinct is such a powerful tool. I mean, I believe it is, for example, your connection to your higher self or whatever you want to call it, your guidance, which is guiding you towards being your best self. And I think that for whatever reason, we're not taught that. Although I think that many people are wise enough and experienced enough to know that when they have, you know, a gut feeling, it means something. It's important. They should act on it, which I guess is what you're alluding to with the division or dilution in the population.
Having that confidence to listen to your...
Yes.
Isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Mm. Yes. It can be quite complex, but you can simplify it if you're in touch with yourself, if you know yourself and are able to harmonize your negative memories, as they were, then I think you can move more towards a better confidence in taking that intuition and running with it.
Now we are fast approaching the end of our show. I know, Carly. Every single time it happens, doesn't it?
It just goes away.
It does. So how can our listeners find you, John? Where can they see all the information to find out about your book, when you're going to be signing it at the Hen Shop, and anything coming up in the future?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so as you said, the book signing is at the Hen Shop, I believe, between 11 and 4 on Saturday the 28th. So not this weekend, but the following weekend. I have various outlets for the book. But the easiest resource is to look for my book site, which is all one word, A Theory of everything.co.uk, and on there you can find links to Waterstones, to Brown Dog Books, to the ebook. Mm-hmm. I plan to do an audio book. That's coming. That's in the pipeline. I've been. I didn't do it now, you see.
Mind you, if you'd done it when you'd released it the first time, you'd have to do a re-edition.
Well, absolutely. So yeah, perhaps there was. That was my gut feeling.
There you go.
There you go.
I mean, I haven't got any workshops, but you can sign up to my newsletter on the website, and we'll be able to announce when I have some workshops. I do one called Quantum Reiki, which is essentially explaining the quantum physics or the way it all works, which I was very grateful to Jill Sudbury, my Reiki master, for inspiring me, or even pushing me to do. She pushed me to do that because I wouldn't shut up during her her courses and stuff. So, yeah, very grateful to her for that, and that'll all be in the newsletter.
Brilliant. Well, to take us out of the show, you have also chosen the song. So would you like to introduce the song?
Yes, I think this is probably the most profound statement anyone has ever made, ever, explaining the essence of life. And as I said, to build on the chaos that was explained in Destruction by Thunder earlier, this is John Lennon, All You Need Is Love.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show this evening. It's been an absolute pleasure. So, and here is John Lennon for everybody. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Yeah.
Sang out of tune, would you stand up and walk out on me?